One, two, three. Hey,
hey,
everybody. This is Y'all Heard, a podcast from me, Marissa Phillips.
And me, Pete Phillips.
And I'm Garfield Phillips.
And this is a podcast that invites you to hop into the backseat of our car so that we can take you on a lighthearted exploration of a topic. And if you get tired of it, you can just turn it off at any point in time. You don't need to yell at us. You don't need to leave a bad review. You can just turn it off.
In other words, we'll tell you things you didn't know you needed to know. Does someone yell at us? Because that... Your intro seemed to imply that someone yelled at us.
Well, no, I just assumed that based on what we were talking about today, that might fit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is that the end of our intro? I don't remember now because I don't know.
I think it is, yeah.
Okay. How are you?
I wanted to tell you, Marissa, about, because it feels like something that I think you would appreciate it. down by where Mom lives, there was a bunch of Sunoco gas stations.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sunoco gas stations, I guess because there's maybe less gas usage because of electric cars, but basically all of them put in gigantic vape shops with blinking signs and everything like that.
Okay.
And then one day, all of the Sunocos just closed immediately.
That's weird.
And it took a few months, but they all reopened. And they have the same colors, and they have the same pumps, but now it's not called Sunoco. It's called Upgrading Image.
What is that?
And it felt like one of your sort of like translation mishap type things that you like.
It's, but what is it?
The sign says Upgrading Image, and I was like, oh, they're probably putting that up while they, you know, reface and another gas station, you know, gets, like, takes it over or something.
Yeah.
But no, it's been up there and that is what it's called.
Wow. Do you know what they have now?
I mean, they have gas.
Oh, that is not appropriate for gas. I would say that it's only appropriate for a marketing startup.
And there's all these rumors about why the Sunoco suddenly shut down. Mm-hmm. And one of the Facebook rumors is that the guy who owned them all had a stroke, and then these other people, like, took over his business, and they screwed it up. But the in-person rumor, the IRL rumor, is that they stopped ordering gas from Sunoco, and they ordered it from someplace cheaper, but they were putting them in the Sunoco pumps.
Ooh.
And Sunoco found out.
I like that. That's an interesting rumor. Did you ask why their name's something so stupid?
No.
Oh, okay. Because that doesn't really make sense.
No.
I would never think to sell gas.
And like I said, it was all the Sunocos in the area. There's like five of these that are called Upgrading Image.
That's interesting. Okay.
And one of them is by the Atlantic City International Airport, if you're ever in the area.
Never. If you're like, is that how Pete is? No, we're not asking how we are today, because if you didn't
realize, we know better.
Well, we know better, and we have a guest. We have a special interview episode today. I won't yet explain what we're interviewing him about, but first let's do an icebreaker.
Icebreaker.
An icebreaker for all.
I'm phoning it in today.
Yes.
Everyone, I don't know when the last time we did a podcast was, but apparently so long ago that my mother thought we stopped podcasting.
What, did she subscribe?
No, she's never heard ever since that time you did
that. She go, oh, you finally stopped that?
I don't remember how she phrased it. Guys, I want you both to tell me something you're looking forward to in the fall season. And if you're like nothing, at least tell me a fall snack. So you could tell me an activity or a food you're looking forward to in the upcoming season. I'm starting with you, Garfield.
I'm looking forward to new restaurant openings and going and trying them all out because I'm a big foodie.
Is there an opening you're looking forward to?
I'm like looking any of them or a specific, yeah.
Any of them, and I'm looking forward to, you know, those weeks they have where you can go to a restaurant and get a prefixed meal for like
$60.
So I'm going to try out as many as I can when that happens.
Garfield lives in the city, not in the disgusting suburbs where do we even have restaurant week? I don't know. None of our restaurants are good enough for us to even care about that. But I'm happy for you, Garfield.
You should have chocolate week.
We should have a week where this city throws a towel. I call this a city. It's not a city. I'm sorry. yeah, that sounds nice.
Mine had a restaurant week, I think once or twice, but none of the restaurants could stay open long enough to to keep it up.
Like your Sunoco gas stations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are you looking forward to, Pete?
So this is good that I have a couple of you with me. this year, I will have been at my job for 20 years. And when you're there for 20 years, they give you a medal. And first, the medal has two X's on it. And when you are there for 30 years, they do not give you a triple X medal.
Oh, which is, boo!
Which is, of course, what we're looking forward
to.
Yeah. So.
Is it a ceremony?
Yes. And when it comes to the fall, what I'm looking forward to is figuring out a way to not go to that event.
How long is the event?
It's probably only like a couple hours, but.
Oh, a couple hours?
Yeah.
Fuck me, man. No. Is it just for you or is it for everyone reaching 20 simultaneously?
It's for milestones. So people who've been there 5 years will, like, they'll get their names read off, and people who've been there 10 years, 15.
Just don't go.
For 20, they give you a medal. And everybody goes to the 21.
Just don't go.
It's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
The weekend? They can fuck themselves. Exactly. Just do not go.
That's true. If it was during work hours, it'd be different.
Yeah. Fuck that, man.
But I do like to go home early for Thanksgiving and work on the food and all that stuff with mom. So anyway, that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to figuring out a way to not do that. And I can't really explain why, except that it's supposed to be a day that celebrates you, but I think I'll also feel like a total loser because I'll be there all alone.
I mean, what?
People bring their spouses, their friends, their girlfriends, that sort of thing. Yeah.
I thought you were as petty and bitchy as me. I would just go, I'm not going. Not offer any explanation, just not go. You don't even like your job.
I think maybe I'll see how it goes with that. Okay. Like how much pressure they put on you to show up. I also feel like 25 years is impressive. 20 years maybe they felt like everybody would die between 20 and 25.
I might. A job more than 5 years, so kudos to you.
Gosh, Marissa, you could be looking forward to any number of different things this fall. Tell us something we don't expect you to be looking forward to.
Oh, now you just upped the ante on the icebreaker. I'm excited about a lot of things. I'm excited about my new Halloween zine is coming out. If you're a Patreon subscriber, you'll get it. I'm excited because for some reason I feel like I only get a pass to eat Butterfingers in October and I eat a lot of them. I'm excited because my husband agreed that I can buy him a matching sweatsuit that says every day is Halloween from the place that I always buy every day is Halloween sweatsuits from.
You think you'd only need to do that once?
No, because they have a new design every year. And
is the pumpkin flag out yet?
Not yet, but we did negotiate that I could bring it out in September.
All right.
I also, he won't let me keep the pumpkin flag all year. And guys, my husband's not controlling, but I do feel like this is not just my house. We should negotiate. I then said, fine, if I can't use the pumpkin flag all year, can I put a gigantic Puerto Rican flag? And he said, only if we put an American flag. And I said, fuck no. We're never doing an American flag ever. He thinks we're going to have hate crimes if we put a Puerto Rican flag. So my husband isn't patriotic. We're just both minorities. And he really thinks we'll be hate crime deals.
No, I think you should put up the Chinese flag.
I didn't pitch that one. I like that idea. I don't think he's going to do that. But I don't know.
No.
But
he'll be like, yeah, you can do that, but I'm going to stay at work all day, every day.
But yeah, I'm also very excited to put on my Halloween flag. And I'm excited to see these pumpkins. If you have been keeping track of
them. Oh, yeah, how are they doing?
I think I fucked up.
Oh, no.
I read that you could prune dead leaves, and I think I pruned them too close to the core. My father said I might have ruined them, so fingers crossed I didn't ruin them.
Yeah.
The top of the plant looks dead. The bottom of the plant keeps growing. So I don't know what part the pumpkin comes from. So we'll see. So I'm excited for many things.
Speaking of excited.
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead. Oh,
I'm excited to find out why we're talking to Garfield today.
Me too.
Okay, yeah. I'll explain. I decided we would have Garfield on. He is a rideshare driver, and he has been for a bit. And I feel like there are a lot of things I'd like to know about the world of rideshare. So Garfield has been so kind as to come on and let us ask him some questions. We will not divulge which specific rideshare place he worked for, but I feel like the questions kind of it doesn't depend on that information. But Garfield, how long have you been doing rideshare, being a rideshare driver?
So I've been doing it off and on for more than 6 years. Oh. I've completed 9,175 trips.
Oh, God.
That's a lot of trips. Yeah. What's the longest one?
The longest one was I drove from Philadelphia International Airport to New York City, which is pretty much the longest one I had.
Yeah.
And it was extremely long because I had two passengers in the car who didn't say anything to each other the whole ride.
I'd been on a ride like that before.
So not only was it long, it was uncomfortable.
One time I had to go from Ohio to Eastern Pennsylvania with somebody who wouldn't talk to me because she was mad at me.
Why the fuck would you live in Philly and not just take the train? But did they know each other, or were they doing were they pooling an Uber or a Lyft or whatever?
They caught the ride together, but they acted like they didn't know each other. So it was very strange. They didn't look at each other. They didn't talk to each other.
Weird.
So it was a 2.5-hour trip that felt like 7 hours.
And I'm sure none of them talked to you.
No.
What's the shortest distance you've driven someone?
Like 2 blocks. And that's because it was like a really hot day. And they're like, I just can't walk this long.
What? Did they seem bougie?
Were they really fat? Because I could get that.
Well, I would say their body proportions were probably larger than the average person, yes.
Okay.
I would do that, Marissa. I would maybe 3 blocks. Okay. I would get.
When my mother visits me, we have like a little strip of stores, and it's too close to take a ride share to, but it's too far for her to walk. So instead, she just doesn't want to go anywhere. So that's fun. Anyway, I do need to ask. I know that you do other things. You don't just do exclusively that. But from your experience, would you say that, like, you can actually make a living if you did that 40 hours a week, do you think?
I don't think you can. Now, 6 years ago when I started, you probably could. But now, no, you can't.
Is it, like, oversaturation? Too many drivers?
I think it's oversaturation. I think it's the state of the economy. People just aren't tipping anymore. So you used to be able to make nice tips, but not so much anymore.
So I heard something recently, and I don't know if it applies to all the apps, but I basically read that, like, what a rider pays is determined by an algorithm, so every rider could have a different price, and that the same thing happens for the drivers, that basically, like, if you're willing to take every ride, they'll likely pay you less than someone who's more discerning about the rides they'll take. Have you heard anything about that? Do you think it's true?
I have heard that, and I do think it's true.
It's fucked up.
I do think it's true because you can get a ride for like, where the driver makes $3.37, and you're driving like 25 minutes. So basically, what am I making? Like $7 an hour at that point?
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
But if I like turn down a few $3 or $4 rides, and next one comes up, it's like $17. That's a little bit better for the same amount of time.
I wonder if that's like Amazon when you leave something in the cart for a while, and they're like, here's like 10% off. And you're like, okay, I'll buy it now. Yeah. If they're trying to like rope you in by off throwing you a bone.
Yeah, when I used to take rideshare every day, I wasn't getting particularly nice prices, but then my husband, who barely ever took a ride, every time he opened, he'd have like a 40% off coupon. And I was like, fuck you. Like, so there's no benefit to loyalty in this shit, but.
Well, he had a car too, right? Meaning like, if he didn't use it as much, maybe it was the same deal. They were trying to like rope him in with some discounts.
Yeah, I guess that was it. I guess so. I don't know why he was not using it, but yeah, that must have been the case. So basically one of the reasons why I definitely wanted to have you on is because it sounds terrible to drive. Maybe not everywhere. I would say like where I am in Hershey, I'm in the suburbs. Not a lot of people do rideshare, so I don't even know how much people are paid. But like, I've asked people about like any horror stories, and most drivers say it's pretty pleasant for the most part. But like in Philadelphia, I bet it's a whole different thing. I mean, I've had horror stories as a rider in Philly. I could only imagine as a driver. I remember where I used to be dropped off for work. Drivers would hate getting me and dropping me off because it wasn't the best area. So feel free to not share any stories that were so terrible you don't want to relive them. But can you tell us one of your memorable bad situations to give people like an idea of how rough it is out there to be a rideshare driver in the city?
A lot of times I compare rideshare driving to being in a video game, because not only do you have strange customers sometimes, but you also have city life. You have potholes everywhere. You have e-bike drivers who don't drive down the right side of the street. You have people walking in front of you, looking at their phones, but not looking in the road. You've got a lot of different things going on. But I think the scariest thing is like when you're in a really bad area and someone is not ready when you get there. Oh. So there's an area in Philadelphia called Kensington, and it's full of people who have had a hard time in life, and they're on opioids, and they're like bent over and on fentanyl. And sometimes you stop there and they'll be like, hey, can I get a ride? Or they'll try to get into your car. So I'm like, oh, here, I'm here to pick somebody else up, not you. So that's always a little scary. And there have been a couple of times where the scariest thing was when I picked up a woman once who was obviously disturbed, but for some reason I kept the ride. Probably my fault. She got in the car and she did not want me to follow GPS directions because she thought that we were being tracked by the government or something like that.
Valid concern.
She called her brother on the phone and said that I was trying to kill her and rape her.
No. She can't use the phone and not GPS. Yes. You're right. She was stupid.
How did that end? You never told me that one.
She asked me to take her back home because I was trying to kill her. Then she pulls out a knife and is like, you're going the wrong way. Luckily there was a cop on the corner of one of the blocks that I was driving down, and I stopped the car, drove down a one-way street, pulled up to the cop, and I was like, need your help. Get this lady out of my car.
And did they?
The cop walked over to the side of the door, had his hand on his hip, ready for anything that might happen, and he got her out of the car.
Wow.
And did she give you a bad review?
I think she may have just been using the phone to call her brother, not
trying to get
the rideshare algorithm to leave me a rating.
So,
lucky for my life, and not a good rating. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two questions. When that's done, do you have to call the company immediately?
You can, but you know they'll often call you back, and there's nothing that they really can do. You call the company, security. They'll call you back and say, you okay? And it's like, no, where can I get help? And they're like, call the cops. I'm like, well, so what am I calling you for? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Wow. Second, if she was telling you not to use the GPS, doesn't the company, like, don't you sometimes get, like, dinged if you're not using the GPS. Like recently I was in a ride share and the guy got lost and then the company was like, is he kidnapping you? Not in those words. It was basically like, I see you're not on the path. Do you need help? Like, doesn't that become iffy too when you don't use the GPS?
It depends on how far out of the way that you're going, but most of the time not. A lot of customers do like to be their own GPS and it's like, well, you should have went this way. You should have went that way. Why'd you go this way?
I figured too, that would be a way that they would track your mileage and everything, but maybe not.
I don't know. Maybe the government's tracking me too. I don't know.
One day you're going to run into that lady and you're going to be like, I'm sorry, you were right. And she's going to stab you.
that reminded me of something. Oh, didn't you also tell me that you got into some confrontations with some drivers because you, like, asked them maybe not to eat in your car? Or, like, just because you had some personal car rules. Didn't you say that that has ruffled your feathers? Ruffled some riders' feathers in some instances?
It has, yeah, because, you know, I used to not mind it so much if people ate in the car as long as they were respectful in how they ate. But then, you know, you start seeing shrimp tails in the backseat of your car. one time some passengers got in with fried chicken on a napkin. So that was kind of messy. And then one time a guy got in the car and he was eating tacos and putting, like, salsa on the tacos from, like, a styrofoam, you know, tray, and I'm like, dude, you can't eat that in here. It's gonna get all messy and my car is clean. Like, I'll have to clean that up. But then one time a passenger did not want to adhere to the rules. So I said, you know, please put it away or we're gonna have to end the ride. They did not. They got out of the car eventually and then started to kick my car. So it's just the little annoyances. That wasn't a big deal.
Now that leads to one of my questions. Yes. If somebody is mad at you or they do spill salsa all over your car, you had to, like, clean that up and fix that dent. Nobody's helping you, right?
No, no one's helping you. Not even the company that I work for would help.
Yeah.
Me.
What if someone does that? If someone damages your car, let's say someone vomits in your car, like, so you said the companies won't help you. I mean, is there even a method to try and get some compensation, or it's just literally your shit out of luck?
Allegedly, there's a method to try to get some compensation. You know, sometimes there's somebody spills spaghetti sauce all over my car. One time I picked up some passengers who had just got out of a swimming pool without towel, and they sat in my car, so all the seats are wet. I had to end the rides for the day, try to dry it all out. And you contact the company, and they're saying, sure, we'll start a cleaning report for you. And we'll let you know what the results are, and we'll compensate you. And then you never hear from them again, no matter how many times you try to. So it's pretty much up to you to get it cleaned, no matter how much it costs.
All I know is I asked.
You must meet the scum of the earth. Just the person who goes, yeah, we just got out of the pool. Let's just get somebody else's car completely wet.
I asked to take a sip of water in a rideshare, and I don't even have a 5-star rating, so I don't even understand what the fuck. I did want to say, so once during COVID, which was fascinating to me, and I can't let things go, so it upsets me to this day, I got in a car, and that was when your drivers were supposed to have face coverings, and the driver, like, had his face covering under his chin. I was like, should I report them? Cause I was kind of annoyed cause that was still like when COVID was really running rampant. And I was like, maybe, you know, like I really think if I give someone a bad rating, it could fuck with their livelihood. So I was still thinking it over. While I'm thinking it over, I then get an email that I've been reported for not wearing my face covering, which I was 100%. And I emailed Uber back. I was like, this is a fucking lie, like, and I don't want my rating to go lower. And they just, like, sided with the driver. It wasn't the end of the world.
Hey, there you go. At least once in a while they sided.
Yeah, so I was just gonna say, I know that there are different apps and everything, so I don't know, you know, if different ones are different ways. But when there are confrontations or discrepancies, do you feel like you as the driver are protected, or do you feel like these companies generally side with the passengers, or is it hard to tell?
Well, I'm an independent contractor, so I don't feel protected at all.
Mm.
I'm trying to recall a situation that did happen to me one day when a passenger reported me for something. Right now, I cannot recall it. I probably will as soon as we finish talking about this. But the company sided with the passenger. Mm. I think it was a passenger who banged his head on my car or something and said that I did it.
How would you do that?
Putting something in the trunk or something. Like a customer said, like, I banged his head in the trunk, but
you'd be dead.
And I told them, like, I don't know who that customer was, what time of day it was, where it was. I didn't do it. Well, I guess that customer eventually got some money from the company. So they sided with the customer at that point, and they said, if this ever happens again, you're going to lose your ranking, your status, and we'll deplatform you. You don't want to be platformed.
I feel like there's no middle ground. Like,
no.
You either didn't bang his head or you banged it and he should call the cops. I don't feel like there's a mid-tier you banged a customer's head on the...
The customer gets to pretend that they got banged in the head so they can get some money out of the company.
Exactly, yes.
So weird. Oh, my God.
Because they're already, I'm sure, paying you absolute shit. So wouldn't it... Mm-hmm. You know what? You should try it yourself. You should go... The driver of the Uber I'm in right now banged my head. And again, not necessarily the company that Garfield works for.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost like shorthand, like I call everything an Uber even when I'm in a Lyft, or the way like I call everything Band-Aid brand. Mm. So, yeah. But are there other companies out there that either of you is aware of besides the big two?
Waymo.
Oh, is that? I actually don't know what that is. I've heard of that, but
I'm saying the right name. It's a driverless company that's starting to. I think it's big in the West Coast, but it's starting to come to the East Coast where we are now.
Oh, I think I read an article that it might be coming to Philly. Right now, it's not in Philly, but they're like driving around, mapping the streets, right?
Yes.
I don't feel like.
But that eliminates Garfield.
It does.
That eliminates Garfield, Marissa. We need Garfield.
Yeah, but no one in Philly wants that, do you think?
I mean, in Philadelphia, didn't they have that friendly robot that like moved across the country and then it got to Philly and they just beat the shit out of it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like,
people are just going to be taking shits in the driverless car.
I'm surprised I'm not hearing like vandalization of the Waymo in Philly. And I'm not saying that like as a knock against Philly. I'm saying like, I love Philly. I shouldn't say this, but I like low key want Philly to make sure Waymo doesn't work there. Cause fuck that. I feel like Philly, you don't fuck around. And I hope that Waymo doesn't make it in Philly. Cause fuck that. Yeah, it's going to take away your money.
Also, if you have a customer who are like I've had, who've eaten in your car, who've gotten in your car completely wet, and you're the next customer in this driverless car, who cleans it in the in between time?
Yeah.
You're just sitting in wet seats and with in spaghetti sauce.
That's a very good point. Wow, I want to see how that works out. Do you have any other questions, Pete? I didn't have that many questions.
I know we kind of referenced it a little bit, but in terms of support, does the company really provide anything? I mean, like you said, I guess the reason that they want you to call is so that they have statistics on incidents or something like that, but they don't really provide any support for you, it sounds like.
No, you're pretty much out there on your own. It's a wild, wild west.
I do have a question. I get proselytized to very often as a rider. Does that happen to you as a driver?
What do you mean by proselytized?
Like people are Actually, I'm sorry, not even just about Christianity. I also get told about demon numbers and angel numbers and all sorts of things. But people either try to tell me about Jesus, try to tell me about what the Bible says about my role as a woman, try to tell me how to manifest things. They just basically, like, they're like basically car missionaries constantly. And again, not just about Christianity, but all different ways of life. Most of the time I do get told who my role is as a woman according to the Bible. But yeah, do you get any sort of like weird people trying to push their worldview on you?
I do get people trying to push their worldview on me. I get people trying to push their political views on me. I don't know. Perhaps they look at me and think I'm a specific kind of voter. Mm. But they usually guess wrong and I don't want to hear what they're saying. Huh. Or they'll talk up, you know, tell me about how they're great Christians and everything. And then once I do a lot of work for them, like putting their luggage in the car, they don't tip. It's like you would expect them to because they're good Christians or whatever. People give me investing advice, advice on numerology, advice on astrology. Sometimes if it's an older couple or older woman, I'll get propositioned to for their granddaughter or somebody or something. There's a lot that goes on in there. And as I mentioned to you before, because I'm an introvert, I think I need to put a sign on my car that says, if you need me to talk to you, you have to leave a certain percent tip. You need to do that.
Because that's really hard work for me.
Yes.
Oh man. I do think, which I did, like, and who knows? I mean, if people want to come at you, they want to come at you. But as someone who takes rideshare all the time, I do think if you do have rules in the car, your best bet, as opposed to, like, telling them, can you please not eat, is maybe to, like, have one of those laminated signs that is, like, this is a non-eating car. This is a whatever car. This is a whatever car. If you're not happy with it, take another car, maybe with a less aggressive tone. But I do see that happening in many cars, that they have all their rules, like, laid out so that you can't, like, argue with them later. Have you ever thought of doing something like that?
I did do something like that.
Whoa.
But people don't read. My daughters picked out this sign for me that was very friendly. It's like, please don't leave a mess in my car, because if you do, it makes me sad.
Oh.
If you do, you'll leave a mess in your pants, because I will scare you.
And even though the sign is, you know, half a foot in front of someone, they don't read it, and they'll start eating, or they'll start slamming doors or doing something they're not supposed to do.
So if someone does that, do you give them bad ratings? Like, I don't know. I never really understood, like, I assume, like, if I gave you a bad rating, would you know I gave you a bad rating?
Well, I've been 5 stars for 6 years, so yes, I probably would, but not necessarily who did it, but I would like, I think that ride that I was on, you know, Thursday at 2 o'clock was probably the one that gave me a 3-star rating.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I guess, yeah, I was going to say, like, do you give these people bad ratings, or is there any reason why you shouldn't? Like, I don't know, like, what repercussions are of things. Like, is there any incentive to not give people bad ratings when they suck? Or do you just give them bad ratings if they're bad passengers?
I will give them probably 3 stars if they're bad passengers. I try not to have anybody deplatformed. I don't want them to be deplatformed, so I try to give them, not a mid rating.
Okay.
So the people fresh out of the pool got a 3?
they got a 1 because they lied.
Good. Isn't there a certain level of bad rating you need to give someone to make sure you're never paired with them again?
I think it's a 3 for the company I work for, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Sometimes it's like, should I do a preemptive bad rating because I think they might give me a bad rating?
Wait, wow, you have a 5-star even though you've, like, some people have, like, butted heads with you? I don't have a fucking 5-star. Okay, I do need to, I didn't okay. need to
That's because you don't know your place in the Bible.
No, my thoughts are one of two things. And I could be wrong. I thought adults don't legally need to wear their seatbelts in the back seat. And I don't know if that's true or not. And I don't always put on my seatbelt in the back seat. So maybe some people are mad about that. If they tell me to put on my seatbelt, I will. But if no one's
listening, I... But pause that story. So Garfield, if yes. you are driving and Marissa's in the back seat and she doesn't have her seatbelt on and you get into an accident and she like breaks her neck, are you responsible for that?
Ooh, no, I don't think so.
And like, it wouldn't be on your insurance, even though you're driving the car.
Now I have to go find out.
I mean, we yeah. can't ask a 5-star driver this question because he doesn't have experience in it. But no, yeah, I that was another thing that I was wondering, you know, when I was asking about, you know, somebody breaks your car or something like that. Yeah. If you had to turn that into your insurance, like you can't make it like a work, injury to your car.
Well, I do have rideshare insurance with my insurance plan.
Nice. All right.
Personal. So yes.
I didn't know that existed. I like that.
It does. Yeah. So I think I would be in some ways responsible to make sure that every passenger in the car is following by the rules.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, some passengers try to get in the car with open beverages, you know, like alcoholic beverages. So yeah. that would be a problem if I got stopped. And there are a lot of passengers who don't have child seats, car seats for their children.
I hear about and, that. Yeah. yeah.
And that's something I don't like. I don't like them in the car if they do that. When you got a 1-year-old baby, you don't have a car seat, and you're putting them in the lap, like, you know, back when we were born. No.
Did you know that, Philly apparently for a short time had car seat, or at least for Uber, I don't know about Lyft, but now no one has it but New York because I don't know. I
guess. Yeah, there's too many people on the earth anyway.
yeah. Not according to Elon Musk.
I have to go back to what I was saying. That I wasn't just talking about myself to talk about myself. I was going to say that I think that might be the reason. But another reason why I think I might have a low rating, I find it controversial. What is a slam versus not a slam? I don't know. What is a slam versus not a slam when it comes to car doors?
Ooh.
I want clarification because if you do it too light, the door won't be closed. But if you do it too hard, then sometimes it's a slam to some people and sometimes it's not. And sometimes I don't know whether someone thinks I slammed their car doors. So I don't know. I want more details on that, Garfield.
So to be safe, I would say that you should close the door as very lightly as you can. If it doesn't close all the way, then just give it that little extra push. And that way you can avoid slamming.
Okay. So now from what you just said,
I feel like at a certain point, it just takes care of itself the rest of the way.
Yeah, you would think so.
What do you mean?
Like you kind of like push it and then I feel like it gets over a bump of some sort on the hinge and then it just closes itself.
I've not sufficiently closed a car door numerous times because I've been afraid to slam it. So I've concluded this is why I don't have a 5-star.
I wouldn't even think of that.
Because people think I slam the door. Too much.
You do have a lot of internal rage.
Whatever. I do. Whatever.
I'll tell you one other thing I don't feel supported when it comes to the company. When you book a ride, you know my name, you know my rating, you know what my picture looks like. But a lot of times I do not know what the customer's name is or what the customer looks like.
Wait, what? Why?
Because they'll put a pseudonym or something. Like,
oh.
I rejected a ride from a guy called Da Killa.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
And I'm thinking if I took a ride from Da Killa, it's probably my fault if something happens, right? But there's no picture or anything, and I don't know who he is, and, you know, he has a 3-star rating. Should I pick him up? No.
No.
I think they shouldn't even allow anyone without a picture to get any rides.
I agree.
But Da Killa would just put up a picture of, like, a chipmunk or something, though. You know, he's not going to put up his real picture.
So what do you think? If someone who owned a rideshare company was listening to our podcast,
what advice would you give them?
No, like, yeah, like, what do you think, like, is just not, don't tell every, like, I mean, the main thing that you think would improve the job for you?
Ooh, this is going to be controversial.
Ooh.
Unionization.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I was going to ask about driver community. Yeah. Like, you don't have any coworkers, right?
No, there are Facebook and Reddit posts that you can join, but everybody has a different view of everything.
Yeah. It's not like you go back to the taxi business's home base and pal around with the other drivers.
Not at all, no. Just on Reddit or on Facebook.
Which I imagine is mostly just people complaining.
It is. Just like,
or seeking advice about how to deal with people complaining about that.
Exactly. No, and there's no real solutions. It's just it's complaints. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Do you think, oh, I'm sorry. One more question. You might not have any input on this, but like, do you think the only way to like make money doing this in Philly would be through one of the big two companies? Like, do you have any thoughts on like taxis, or you're just too far removed to even know what that life is like?
I'm too far removed from the taxi life. And again, I mean, years ago it used to be a lot better money. But now I could make decent money in 7 hours, but now it takes like, you know, 11 to 12 hours to make money. And who wants to be on the road that long?
Oof, that sounds rough.
Yes.
My heart goes out to you.
In this latest, season of Dexter, he's a rideshare driver and he lives with a guy who's also a rideshare driver. And the guy's trying to teach him how to do it so he could do that for work. And it felt like the man's entire vehicle was solely dedicated to like the client, as like his whole car was basically built for the luxury of the passenger and like not at all for him. Mm-hmm. He's like, he just had like a picture of his kids or something up there. And, yeah, I was kind of thinking like, man, that's got to suck, because you'd think it's your car. You might want to use it for other stuff, but yes. Instead you can't fit the groceries because you have all these waters in the backseat or whatever.
That used to be a thing, I think, back years ago too. I used to try to carry water, vents, those kind of things, but then, you know, it was cost prohibitive after a while. Yeah. You don't make enough to do that. You know, you drive half the day and fill it with gas, and then you drive another half a day, fill it with gas again. So it doesn't make sense to do all that.
Even as a rider, we don't deserve it.
No. I had water in my car. No one would take it.
Mm-hmm. I would. But again, we don't deserve it.
So I have what also might be slightly controversial. I wonder how you might feel about this. My sister and her husband, who is a horrible driver, both were rideshare drivers. They didn't think they had to report it on their taxes or anything. It was a whole disaster. But my sister, who's made very many very dangerous decisions in her lifetime, thought, you know what? After I drive somebody, if I give them my phone number, then next time we don't have to get the app involved and I can make more money.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a bad idea for more than just the reason of you're giving your phone number to a complete stranger?
Absolutely, yes. It's a bad idea.
Like, business-wise, do you think... I guess then you would have to set the price and the person would have to be okay with that.
Yeah, there's a lot of haggling going on there, right, too. Yeah. Did it work out for her? Did she get any business that way?
She had, like, one person that she drove around pretty regularly, and it was usually from New Jersey into Philly, and then when they were done, out of Philly and back home, that sort of thing.
Okay, I can see how that might make sense if you have a couple of regulars, but yeah.
Yeah.
Not just giving out your money, not your number just to anyone.
Yeah.
Might be a good customer.
Yeah, as a rider, I love when people did that. But, yeah, maybe if you wanted to do that, get a Google Voice number so it's not your real number.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, knowing that this was the topic that we were going to be talking about, I did some research. And Garfield, you got a hard job.
Wait, this what did you find?
Uber drivers, even though they account for a tiny fraction of the U.S. workforce, comprise nearly 1% of the total number of job-related deaths in the United States.
What?
That's crazy.
Thank you for that stat.
And, details on what death through what?
Yeah.
Car accident or murders?
Both.
Oh.
Yeah. And all the stats come from at least a few, like before a few years ago for some reason. And it seems like Uber and Lyft both put out reports, like safety reports. But, you know, if you're in a situation like Garfield was in and he decides, you know, like the police took care of this, I'm cool, this lady's going to get some help, I don't need to worry about this anymore, and I don't turn it in, then it's not contributing to those numbers. But also, if the numbers were bigger, what would the company do about it anyway? But in July 2021, a researcher identified 124 carjackings that had taken place in an 18-month period, 11 of which resulted in the death of the driver.
Ooh.
And later, like a few months, maybe like a year later, they did it. They did the same research, and it was 350 drivers had been carjacked and 28 deaths. So that's crazy.
That is crazy. Now, I will tell you that I do feel protected in one way, is that they started making – if you cancel a ride, it counts against your – counts against you on the platform. But they made it now so that if you feel unsafe and cancel a ride, it's not going to count against you.
And good. Then,
right.
There have been
so
a couple
of
times.
You don't have to pick up the killer just yeah. so you're rating up.
So there have been a couple of times where I've waited in like remote areas. I don't see anybody coming. There's no one around. And I'm like, I'm canceling this ride. I've been here for 3 minutes and I don't see anyone. Let me get out of here before something happens.
Good. Thank goodness that they let you guide.
But in terms of support too, there was this specific case where a rider, the passenger took out a gun, held it to her head, forced her to drive to the woods, get out of the car, shot her 7 times. And then left with her car. So she managed to get to safety, called 911,
wow.
and all that Lyft did was pay some of the medical expenses.
That's
it's just
insane.
Like the fact that, you know, companies can kind of get away with that kind of stuff. And like you said, as an independent contractor, I guess the contract is they don't really owe you that much, but still it's, I mean, we don't need to say it out loud, but just in case we do for you, listener, that's not a good way to treat people.
No. I hope you unionize.
And again, it goes back to the fact that you might not have that person's real name. You might not have that person's picture. They might not have been the person who booked the ride, and it's for their friend who got into the car. So you have no idea who you're really picking up.
Yeah.
And so it's a good way to take somebody to the woods and shoot them 7 times. And now you have me rethinking my career choices.
Well, you got to do a lot of driving to get to the woods, don't you, out there?
No, not really.
Everyone, just keep Garfield in your thoughts.
Yeah, and you know what? If, let's say, something like that does, God forbid, happen to Garfield, maybe give him a tip so that way he can afford those medical bills, because nobody else is going to help him. You can have our Patreon money if you get shot 7 times.
It's amazing she got shot that many times and lived. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Plugs.
Is there anything you would like to plug, Garfield? I'm assuming you don't want to plug your own rideshare thing and give yourself up, but would you like to plug something else?
Yeah. Do you have a Venmo that we could just send you money to?
I do, but I won't do that. No, I just encourage everybody. The rideshare drivers, you know, have a dangerous experiences out there. Anything could happen, not just from passengers who might be, you know, a little off kilter, but also there's just the roads are angry and dangerous out there. So treat them nice. Hopefully they'll treat you nice. Maybe leave them a little tip so they can take their daughters to lunch or whatever they might want to do. But just be kind to everybody.
Yeah.
How about that? Let's try that.
That's a great plug. Pete, do you
I wish it was easier though to be kind to everybody.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people suck, right?
I was actually driving home from work today and I was behind a car. And it just stopped dead in the middle of the street. And it turns out it was a rideshare driver who was trying to figure out where they were picking somebody up. And I'm like, this is not how you do that.
As someone who might have to drive again, which, God, just pray that something happens and we move to the city and I don't. I don't know if I... Well, Pete, I know you watched I Think You Should Leave. Garfield, have you ever seen the sketch show I Think You Should Leave?
No, what's it on? What's streaming service?
Do you know, Pete?
Netflix.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I always think of I honestly think, should I say this? The scene where, what is it? He does something and someone goes,
come on, man, go! What is your problem, man? Do you know how to fucking drive?
No.
What? No, I don't know how to fucking drive. I don't know what any of this shit is, and I'm fucking scared.
And that's how I feel. But yeah, so be kind to people, guys. Yes. They could either be rideshare people who are confused, or they could be people like me who never thought they'd live in the suburbs and they don't want to drive. But life in this fucking country makes it so sometimes you only have that option and they don't know what they're doing. So yeah. I'm plugging being nice to me if I ever have to drive. And
I'm going to plug being nice to me. And buying me Halloween Oreos because they're out now.
Oh, are you gonna get? There are two kinds. There's the one with the orange cream, but there's the one that has orange and green cream. You should get those.
I haven't seen them yet.
So cool. I sell them at Target.
Okay. I went to Target. I had to really hunt hard because they didn't put them with the regular Oreos. I don't know. Seasonal stuff's crazy.
The ones I said were in the Halloween section. But
they
guys,
didn't have Halloween out. It was back to school still.
Oh, they did go to ours.
That was just last week.
Yeah, I don't. Everyone in Hershey, we're all so miserable. All we have to look forward to are the holidays. Anyway.
One of the things I would tell everybody is, I don't know if this is happening in anybody else's life, but people seem to be adjusting to what stores are selling and not actually what the real holiday is at this point. Like, there's people putting up Halloween decorations and it's like, that's fine, okay. But you know that Halloween is like 2 months away. And it's like, they're selling it. Of course I have to buy it and put it up.
I agree. And people get very surprised that I agree because like, ooh, I love spooky year round. I love spooky stuff year round. I don't love Halloween year round because if you start Halloween too early, then it becomes diluted by when it's actually Halloween. So guys, take it from me, a spooky goth girl. I don't want early Halloween. People were trying to sell Summerween on me and I'm like, fuck you. No, Halloween is only special if you don't go hard in summer, and then it's super special when you go hard in October and September. So calm down, you corporate whores. Yeah. Anyway, on that note, guys, if you want to call us and defend corporate whoreism, you can call us at 570-POD-WAD-1. You can email us at...
If you want to email us your rideshare experiences so that we can share them on the air. Or if you have questions that you don't want us to share on the air, but we could just answer them for you. You can email yallheardpod@gmail.com.
As always, you can slide into my DMs on Instagram at @rissvandal. If you're a patron, you'll get a zine. But if you listen and you're not a patron, I would say to, and you are interested in this Halloween zine I'm mentioning, follow me there. Just thanks for listening, guys. And Garfield, thank you for joining us. I hope you had a pleasant time.
Yes, it was very pleasant. I hope to be back on your podcast again someday.
Yes, and you're after welcome. This, I hope that you get to eat some lasagna.